This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you very much. And I meant to extend that intro music bed after last weekend. I forgot to do it. Maybe I will remember to do it before next weekend. Sean Belenk, good to talk to you, buddy. You were supposed to be in studio today, but you had what we call in the business a technical glitch. And so it sidetracked you, but we got you remotely.
Yeah, it. You know what? You called it.
Well, yeah, you texted me earlier in the week and said, hey, I'm going to be in studio on Saturday. And Sean has been remote here for a good long while. And I told Sean, I'll believe it when I see it. And I don't see you here, Sean.
I'm just trying to hide the COVID-50, you know.
You're not alone there, I don't think.
Oh, my word. I'm telling you. It's been a fascinating time.
Yeah.
You
say 50, you know, but today we're going to go 50 years back to 1972. 50
that
years.
Was slick.
How about that, huh? Lincoln Wood went to the state tournament, first year of the two-class system, finished in third. And this is just a remarkable story of small-town basketball. We're going to have Vern Pinkston. We're going to have Denny Held, who was on the squad. Current Lincoln Wood coach Matt Milberg is going to join us. And then later in the hour, we'll have Paul Nonneman, who was an assistant coach on that team back in 1972. And, Sean, when we think about, you know, high school basketball, kind of, you know, the glory days, if you will, you get into that 60s and 70s range, and, boy, is that a beautiful sweet spot.
It really is. I mean, there was atmosphere in those gyms, and it was especially before consolidation, it was town versus town, and, you know, just great rivalries and a great style of basketball. And you knew who was in charge. The coaches were larger than life, loud, and no one questioned their authority. I mean, it was definitely a different time. And I said it talking to John Michael Marty. I went to high school with no 3-point line. The 3-point line became reality right after I graduated in the 88-89 season. And, you know, it's like I forget what it looked like. And that floor, it looked like the ocean. I mean, it just looked vast without all the arcs. And, you know, especially when you remember some floors had the college and the high school arc. So you go out now and you look at that 72 film, it almost looks like the Zapruder film.
And, you know, Sean, when you see people shooting from, you know, 20 feet and beyond back then, you know they were knockdown shooters because you're only getting 2 points from back there, but you're still able to get the green light to put it up. And Staunton will be the opponent tonight for Lincoln Wood when they have the ceremony and recognize this 50th anniversary of the 72 team. And I think, Sean, it's fitting that Staunton is the opponent because, of course, the Staunton Bulldogs in 1993, they are the last true Cinderella state champion that we will ever see. Now with the four-class system, you won't have a story like that. So I guess it's just kind of fitting that as Lincoln Wood celebrates the 50th anniversary of the 72 team, the Staunton Bulldogs are in town. And, of course, the 93 state champions. That was just a remarkable run.
Ah, you know, and I'll tell you what, and this really, when you picture that team, I mean, I think it's special to go to a game now, but you just think of that gym and that absolute peak period. I mean, that had to be special.
Yeah.
You know, and every home court had, you know, was distinctive. You know, I think now as you get around, you know, architects seem to weigh in on a number of high schools, and they're not as individualistic, and I mean, that's, you know, you go there to, I mean, that's a one of a kind. It's hard to find one that looks like the Lincoln Wood gym.
Oh, the woodshed, that it is something special, and it will be a rocking place tonight as they honor the 1972 team. And you know, Sean, we had a rocking atmosphere last night over in Carthenville as Hillsborough and the Cavaliers squared off. And no one going into that game thought it was going to come down to the final possession. You know, if you say that this morning, I don't think you were saying that before tip-off last night. But it's the wonderful thing about sports in general, high school sports specifically, is you throw the ball up and you never know what might happen. And all be darned if Carla DeVille didn't have two really supreme looks in the last 5 seconds of regulation for the win. They didn't go down, and the toppers survived. But there was a bunch of students there last night. There was the dance team performed at halftime, so you had those folks in the gym as well. And it was just a really fun atmosphere last night in Carla DeVille, and the Cavaliers darn near sprung the upset.
You know, I'm glad to see, you know, the students enjoy it. Some of the students like, I'll stay home and look at my screen or make a TikTok. And, I think students are just, you know what? There's something here. There's something about this community experience. And I think you're not going to get that kind of adrenaline from something in the palm of your hand and that shared experience. So I'm glad that the kids are picking up on it. They got to be a part of something like that.
And we missed that last year with the atmosphere because the kids feed off the crowd and the energy as well. And there was a neat moment, at least I thought it was neat, before the game. During the starting lineup, Sean, I've never seen this, but you know we're in the technological age. After Carson Weiser got introduced over the PA system, he went over to the stage where all the Carlinville students were. Someone handed what I presume is his phone. He took the phone, stood in front of the stage, and took a selfie with all the Carlinville students in the background as the starting lineups were being introduced. I'd never seen that before. Why not?
Different times.
Hey, there you go.
It works.
That's exactly right.
You can't live in the past and function in the present. You can enjoy the past and function in the present, but, you know, that's kind of the way it works, and especially when you have fun with it.
And you want to talk about a tough turnaround for Carla DeVille. You had the heartbreaking conference loss last night, and now, Sean, they get on a bus this morning, head down to Pinckneyville, to play Waltonville in the Pinckneyville shootout with a 1 o'clock tip. That is a tough turnaround for Carlinville.
Yeah, that's a tough bus ride. I'll tell you though, it's a privilege to play in that gym. That's one of those great venues. And, they built some good ones down there in Southern Illinois. Boy, Pinckneyville, West Frankfort, Benton. They just have great facilities down there. And, yeah, Pinckneyville, a lot of great moments in that gym. So, it's going to be a fun shootout for them. I think if you can, you know, keep your memories short and just move on to the next day, and tomorrow's another day. I know it's easier said than done as you move from a rival game.
Fabulous cliche.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how they shake it off. I mean, that's a great thing about basketball. You don't have to sit with a tough defeat for a week.
Very true. The marquee game down there tonight will be Muskoda and Centralia. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip. Carlinville will play at 1. We're going to get to a break. Standing by, we got Vern Pinkston, Denny Held, and Matt Milberg. They're going to join us to talk about the 50th anniversary of the 1972 third-place finishing Lincolnwood Lancers. We do that when Sports Saturday continues. Coming up tonight at the Woodshed, Lincolnwood will honor the 1972 Lincolnwood basketball team that finished third in state. And joining us on the phone right now, we have a very good representation here. We got Vern Pinkston, we got Denny Held, and we got Matt Milberg. Of course, Denny was on the team. Vern followed the team as a youngster, and Matt grew up hearing about the team. So, fellas, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. And, Denny, I guess first question to you, does it seem like this has been 50 years?
I don't know if I can even remember back 50 years ago, Tim. Yes, it does seem like 50 years.
And Denny, as you look back on that, I mean, as the years have passed, it probably gets even more special.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Especially, you know, being involved with officiating and everything and see the teams go and go to the state tournament and watch all that. You know, it brings back real good memories of what a great run we had that year. You know, only a year or so into the two class system, and it sure made it special that we could pave it for the rest of the communities around.
And you know, Matt, talk to me about what the ceremony is going to be tonight.
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm not even 50 years old yet, so
I was -9 when this went down.
You know, so when Denny talks about it and Vern talk about it, I just, you know, listen with big ears, obviously. And, you know, I just wanted to bring him into the gym and get back to that feel of, you know, 50 years. And we're going to just have a between the games. We're going to get the trophy out on a table and have them gather around and get a picture, and then have my boys jump in a picture with them too, and make sure that the, you know, my boys know what it takes to get to this level. And I know it's super hard nowadays, but you know, we've been playing pretty good basketball here lately. We took the traveling trophy from the conference the other night, and we won four of our last five, and I think the boys are starting to play good basketball.
And Vern, what was it like for you as a kid following that team?
Well, it was really exciting. I was a sophomore that year, and I'd played like freshman and sophomore teams and stuff like that. But the school was just, everybody was into it. I know the weekend of the state tournament, school let out at noon that day so everybody could get up to the state tournament. I doubt if there were hardly anybody left in town here, Raymond, Farmersville, Harville, Wagner. I think everybody went to the games, and it was just super exciting. It was kind of unexpected, really, because the year before, the 1971 team was really strong. And that was the last year of the one-class system, and the last year we played at the Springfield Armory, and we beat Springfield Southeast, who was in the top 16 in the state, beat them in overtime, ended up losing to Lanphier in the championship game, and then went to, they ended up getting third in the state. Then the next year was really a rebuilding year. Everybody had graduated except for Dave Hobson, and the first part of the year was kind of a struggle. And then after the Litchfield tournament, the team turned around, put on a big winning streak, and that's when they really got going. And when they hit the upset Rochester in the championship game, and that was at Rochester of the regional, after that, things just snowballed from there.
You know, I think we all think of Terry Tote in situations like this, and he would always talk about, in terms of the postseason, it's all about the draw, and, you know, that has a lot to do with how far you go. And, Danny, back in the day of the one-class system, the draw was never good.
No, it was never good for Lincolnwood. No, we always had to butt up against Springfield teams or Chatham or something like that, you know, and that always spelled problems because, you know, somebody always had a good team coming out of Springfield.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I think if there was a two-class system prior, I think there'd probably be a state championship banner at some point up in the woodshed.
Oh, I would agree with you there. Yep, I agree with you there. Especially in the 71, that was, and even in the 65
team.
65 with Rusty Bergman and Steve Gerlach and all those guys and Kent Redford, and that would definitely have been up there.
Matt, talk to me about, you know, growing up, going to Lincolnwood, playing in the program. I'm sure that, you know, those teams and the 72 team, they kind of had a magical quality, almost a nostalgia to when you would hear about them.
Yeah, we have those banners up in the gym, and it tells you what year it was and what place they got and what the record was. For me, growing up, you know, I obviously saw that team up there, but what hit home to me and what made me have a love for Lincolnwood basketball was the 90s when they won back-to-back-to-back three-peat regional champs in the mid-90s, and watching those guys play for Coach DeVallis. They still have some of the best records in school history during those years. Having my face painted cheering in the sectional at Vandalia, I can remember like it was yesterday. And, you know, that's just kind of what the culture is, and that's kind of what I just want to instill here, still at Lincolnwood.
And, you know, Denny, to that point for you, when you were growing up, you know, you were right in the sweet spot of the 60s and in that run leading to your time in high school. Talk about that, because you alluded to it earlier, but small-town basketball, you know, it's different now for a variety of reasons. We don't need to get into the reasons why. But back then, when you grew up watching those teams, your thought was, that's going to be me someday, and we're going to do what those boys are doing.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, basketball was it. I mean, that was what it was. I mean, that was the main game. There wasn't soccer. There wasn't, you know, all the other sports that there is now. Basketball was the total highlight. It was it. I mean, that was what you did on Friday. That's what you did on Saturday. That's what you marked the calendar, you know, in the first part of October. When you started basketball practice, there was no other season. It was basketball.
And Vern, talk to me about the atmosphere at Lincolnwood specifically. I mean, I know I've heard it was the toughest ticket in town.
You couldn't get in on. You'd have a Morrisonville Lincolnwood game. They'd be out here at 4:30. I mean, it was.
You couldn't get in the gym. And back in the '60s, about every home game was full. There was just always excitement. Everybody came and supported the team.
Guys, let's dive into the 72 team a little more specifically. 50 years since that third place finish. And, Vern, you talked about starting slow. And, Denny, I would imagine even though you guys started slow, you probably had a feeling that maybe something was brewing. Perhaps not, you know, getting to the Assembly Hall brewing, but something good was on the horizon.
Well, it just seemed like we got on a roll. Like Bird said, after Christmas and you know, you caught a break here and you get a little momentum and shots start to fall and things really went good and it just catch a break here, catch a break there, and all of a sudden, guess what? You're walking out on the floor. I mean, it all ended up in the luck of the draw plus the luck of the good Lord.
And Dave Kane had sent me an article earlier this week that he had written up, I think, on the 35th anniversary. I think Larry Edwards had a quote about, you could fit a lot of hay in this barn when you guys got out to the Assembly Hall.
Yeah.
Denny, what was that moment like walking out onto that floor? I mean, everyone thinks, I believe, of the Hoosiers movie with Hackman, you know, measuring the rim. It's still 10 feet, boys.
Well, I mean, you know exactly what it's like. I mean, you didn't go to places like that. I mean, back in the 70s, I mean, those were places where you seen on TV and you seen a picture in a newspaper. I mean, you walked out there and it was a large building. I mean, and you'd never experienced anything like that. You didn't go to shootouts like that. You didn't have, all the things that they do today. And, you know, it's a once in a lifetime, and it was a building that we'd seen on TV, but we'd never been in. But boy, when you walked out there, it was quite a place.
Denny, I imagine school consolidation was different 50 years ago. Well, in this case, 60 years ago. I have to think this really brought Raymond and Farmersville closer together on a permanent basis.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I mean, that helped mold the problems that probably initially started out, but you know, there's even now, even today, there's still a little bit of every now and then the generations don't bind it all together, but it's doing good. We're all right.
Well, athletics has a way of kind of bringing communities together. You know, I think of North Mac, the athletic success they had early, really, I kind of just think helped that whole thing go over, and probably the same deal with Lincolnwood back in the day, coming together. Denny, what was it about Hobson that was so dangerous?
He never missed. He never jumped. He never jumped that he'd ever missed. I mean, and of course, it was a much different game back then. It was much different. It wasn't near as physical as it is today. I mean, my gosh, it was more finesse and shot selection and plays, and now it's just run them down and run around and try to work for a pass or you've watched the ball games. It's just not near as much as there's more coaching way back there, more philosophy and more finesse and more better shooting. Now it's just go down, throw up a wild NBA shot. Wow.
Well, then he 50 points will win you a lot of varsity games today. It wouldn't have won you hardly any back then.
Oh, that's exactly right. No, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched the Super 8.
The thing about the 72 team, they made very few mistakes. Not a lot of turnovers. They worked the ball, and they were a team that knew how to take care of the ball. And you'd get it to Hobson, and he would score.
I had the boys with Vern yesterday, and I walked into the room, and they say, "Hey, coach, we're watching film today." Well, heck, I was thinking maybe they were watching a little Staunton film or
something.
That's
good, yeah.
They're watching the game from the 72 team at the Assembly Hall, and they're like, "Coach, this is a lot different. Never seen anything like this before." I said, "Yeah, you're right. Maybe you'll learn something."
Yeah, pay attention. You just might learn something.
I looked at that Super 8 Zapruder film from Champaign, and and looking through the whole storyline of the season, boy, the one thing that was clear, boy, you guys saved the best for last. You just found an extra gear in the fourth quarter of those big games.
Well, that team trailed in a lot of the games. They trailed, I think, against Rochester in the championship of the regional. They trailed Iliopolis in the sectional most of the game. They were behind Chrisman at Decatur. The Gibson City game, I think, after the first quarter, the only time we were ahead was the last 3 seconds. It was a team that always could come from behind, and they turned it on in the fourth quarter. You're exactly right.
Denny, the third-place game in tournaments a lot of times, like, oh, boy, we're playing for third place. Not when you're at the state tournament. You got a chance to end the season on the right note with the win. You know, only a number of teams get to end the year on a win. What was the mentality of that third-place game, knowing this is it, fellas? It's been a great ride, but this is the end.
Well, of course, we wanted to go in there, and we had everybody was there, and why go up there and throw in the towel on the third-place game? You know, try and bring home a trophy, a better trophy, a bigger trophy. We only had one chance, and we went up, and I guess Thompson was the smallest team in it, and we were next, and I don't know, we got started out right, and then, of course, they put me in there with a minute 50 to go in the game, and I got my 2 points in there.
There you go. History, baby.
It was not to be exact, but it was a minute 54, according to official stats. And they said I traveled on the play, but no call. Of course, good officiating. You
there
know,
you go. That's right. Forward. That's right.
Get going. And my big rebounding talents, I think I had 3 rebounds that game, too. So must have fell off.
You alluded to it earlier, though. As an official now, you know the experience the kids have when they get there. But the experience just overall for kids, that type of experience, that is a lifetime memory. You hear the term, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. You remember that for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Well, you know, not only that, but, the homecoming, and we had the parade and had the fire trucks, and, you know, that was fantastic. The send-off and everybody, like Vern said, I mean, it's all there was. I mean, there was nothing else. There was no bingo on Friday nights and all that. It was, you went to the ball game. I mean, that was, you had to get your seat, and everybody had their own seat, and that's what it was. Everybody played to go to the ball game.
I don't know, Tim, I don't know if this show was around in 1972, but if it wasn't,
in some form,
I know
sure
where you had Sports Saturday. It was at the barber shop. That's like where the best Class A hoops conversations always happened.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And you know when Denny said everybody had their assigned seat, and Vern, I think about your mother. Nobody had a better, more defined seat.
She's ready to go tonight.
I'm sure she is. She's probably already there.
Yeah. Well, she's probably she's kind of been a little leery of the COVID, so she hasn't gone to a few games, and she said, "I'm not missing tonight." So yeah, she's planning on being there.
And that's always been, I think, the fabric of small town basketball is the community fans. You don't necessarily got a kid on the team or even a relative on the team, but this is my town and my team.
Yeah, I mean, as the head coach, you know, you walk into the local gas station, or, you know, you're driving around in driver's ed, and you stop in Swiss Drivers, and somebody stops you and says, "Hey, how's it going to be tonight? How things looking? And I talk to the boys all the time about community pride and you know, tradition never graduates. And it's important to the community members. It should be important to you. You know, diving on the floor for loose balls. We talk a lot about having the little eyes in the gym, just like you mentioned to me earlier about watching those other teams. Every time you come on the floor, whether it's in 1972 or 1980, 1990, or currently now, some little kid's watching you play basketball. And it's important to me for the culture of the program to let the boys that I have in my program know that there's eyes watching them, and somebody is going to be replaced someday. You know, you bring guys in. You know, we're losing Will Jenkins this year, the senior, big leader on our team, big part of our program. But, you know, he'll be gone next year, and there'll be another freshman come up, and that culture's got to continue to be good.
Well, I tell you, this 50th anniversary is something special, and not to go back and forth between the here and now, but and yesterday, but the thing that strikes me is you go from that mode of being a giant killer. I see the regional title they won a few years before you guys made it to state. I have to think that when your recipe for postseason success is going to some place daunting like the State Armory, and you have to face those Springfield high schools and schools of the like, that just kind of prepared you. I guess you got a little less overwhelmed by going to Assembly Hall when you've been battle tested and you have to beat the big boys.
Exactly. It's just a different experience. Going to the Armory was it was fun going to the Armory, just watching a game there. The experience was awesome. It was like going to an NBA game or something, going in through the tunnels and going to your seats, and it was incredible. And I remember going to the super sectional game at Milliken, and that place was absolutely packed. It was packed. One of the most exciting games I've ever seen.
You know, 50 years, we're talking about that with the 72 team at Champaign. It's like, you know, ironic that it's going back to
right.
Champaign this year.
No, that's exactly right. Kind of fitting. And Vern, you know, the 72 team finished third, but you've alluded to it that, you know, it was supposed to be a rebuilding year. Not a bad rebuilding year. Talk to me about what led up to that, you know, starting kind of maybe in the mid-60s. And it was really a very consistent, dominant run for little old Lincolnwood back then.
Well, we had good coaching. We had Norm Kiefner with the 65 team, and Larry Edwards did a really good job there. I'm not sure how many years he was there, 11. And he was very disciplined and put together teams that knew how to take care of the ball, knew how to play defense, knew how to play hard. And he just put forth a winning program.
He had Paul Neideman in there that was going to be he was a JV coach, and he got everybody ready. And, you know, I played a lot of ball with Paul and in a JV program because, you know, I wasn't a starter with a varsity program, but built a good relationship with Paul, and he's still, you know, doing the PA announcing up at Riverton, and we still talk about it every time I go up there about, you know, the 72 team and stuff like that. And he was, he's quite a good coach. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, changed over the years, the physicality of it and everything. And one of the funny stories, they used to get a box of gloves, and he would take a boxing glove, and you'd drive in for a layup, and he would take that boxing glove and hit you with it. If you missed the layup, then you had to start running. Well, he'd pick on me a little bit every now and then, but I was his paper boy too, so whatever he went home to look for his paper, he had to go looking around the bushes because if he fought with that boxing glove too much, I hit his paper in the bushes.
I have to ask from the lighter side. You know, we just put a man on the moon 3 years earlier. What in the world was going on with the sporting goods companies of America when you're talking about those shorts?
Well,
I'm sure that's where you get the most grief from the kids now.
They had a big crunch on material. They had to shut her down. No long short.
Some of them boys asked me the other day about that picture, and I said, yeah, that's a belt. They're like, what? Yes. I said, yeah, I think that's a belt around there. They had loops on their practice, on their game shorts.
That always baffled me why you had the belt on the basketball shorts, but neither here nor there, I suppose. Denny, obviously, no three-point line back then, but I'm always amazed. There were dudes back in the day, they were shooting deep three-pointers but only getting 2 points, and if that's the case, you know you were a dead-eye shooter.
Oh, absolutely. You got that.
It's like I can't imagine the coach said, yeah, go ahead, put it up from 25 and get two. That's fine.
There wasn't none of that.
No.
You put it up from 25 then, you was going to be 25 feet down on the bench. About 30
Then he was the first year of the two-class system, and I know I've read some stuff about how you guys weren't really necessarily sure about it. Like, is it going to be viewed the same? Obviously, it is. But talk about that time going that summer between one class and two classes as you prepared for that 72 season.
Well, it was, you know, it was a lot of difference because, you know, it was all going to be new and everybody was trying to strategically plan where they'd be. But we really didn't, I mean, we were, like Vern said, we was in a rebuilding year and really didn't have any plans on going anywhere. Just seemed like
just going game to game. And, yeah. And you won a game and all right, we're still going.
If you were betting on Vegas, you didn't want to be betting on us then.
No.
I look at that, it looks like, you know, that small, when I look at the numbers, especially when I look at that free throw percentage, that strikes me as the small town basketball team with the kids who are self-starters are out in the driveway shooting at, shooting buckets year round, middle of December outside probably shooting buckets. Just, it seemed like, if you had a good free throw percentage at the time, you were someone who put in the work whether the coach was there or not.
Yeah. I think Dave still has he still's got the record. It'll never be, 43 free throws in a ball game, you're never going to see that, bro. I mean, that ain't going to happen.
Well, in the regular season game, Lincolnwood's got a record of 55 in a game against Hillsboro in 1970. But then back then, the first foul, you shot a free throw, didn't you, I think?
Yeah.
And that was before the one-on-one thing. Every foul was a free throw.
And you had the jump balls on tie-up, so games probably took like 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no 1 hour and 15 minutes.
It was just different. The whole thing, everything's different.
Denny, before we let you guys go, because we got Paul Nonneman going to join us here coming up, we thank you so much for your time. But do you have one or two kind of just recalls from that season, from that time, that those are kind of the consistent memories that come back to you?
Just the only time I scored, baby. That's it. Every time I put the ball in the hole, that's what I remember.
There we go. That's the mayor, baby.
I was playing Morrisonville. Down here, and the ball come underneath the basket and didn't touch the rim. Somebody shot one from the corner. It landed right in my hands, and I threw it up and missed it. And that's the biggest one I remember. I missed it back then.
Oh, man. That's great. Vern Pinkston, Denny Held, Matt Milberg, thank you so much for your time this morning as we reminisce about the 50th anniversary. And, Matt, if you could again, game time tonight and ceremony plans.
Yeah, JV game is going to start at 5. It's a little bit earlier than normal tonight just because we got a lot going on. And then between games, we're going to take a picture with the 72 cheerleaders and players and coaches that have joined us that night. And then we'll get varsity started against Staunton. And then actually in varsity halftime, we're going to have a mini cheer presentation. So I'm going to have my little daughter out there cheering for the Lancers tonight.
Awesome. Great stuff. Fellas, thank you so much for joining us this morning and enjoy this evening.
Thanks for having us, Tim.
All right, that is Vern Pinkston, Denny Held, and Matt Milberg. And, Sean, that was good stuff.
Yeah, that gives you the chills, doesn't it?
Straight up.
you know, before select teams. Hey, and not all select teams are created equal. I think there are a lot of benefits to a lot of select teams. Not that this is the select team zone, so to speak, but it just, athletics weren't tainted. And again, it really, everybody in the community was plugged in. You know, it was. And as I mentioned, the barbershop, that was just, I just remember so many conversations, you know, where, guys in the barbershop, you know, there were a lot of great battles down in Clinton County, Westland versus Carlisle and all that stuff. And these guys in the barbershop, man, it was just like, it was like pro football writers talking about a division. They just knew who the shooters were in the conference and outside the conference, and they knew their stuff. And I just remember that energy. And I think we're talking about the late 80s, and I have to think you just dial that up 20, 30, 40% in 1972.
No doubt about it. Been 50 years since the Lancers finished third in state. Thanks to Vern Pinks and Denny Held and Matt Milberg for joining us this morning. We're going to take a break. On the other side, Paul Nonneman going to join us. He was an assistant on that 1972 squad. We will talk with Paul Nonneman when Sports Saturday continues. Should have mentioned this, meant to mention it off the top. I forgot. Congratulations to Neil Alexander. Picked up his 900th career win last night as Lincoln beat Mattoon 40-35. As Neil Alexander, the second most wins in the history of the state. And Sean, if he stays around long enough, who knows where that total is going to wind up. It might be a grand worth by the time he is done. Don't know what his plans are, but 900. That is awesome for Nokomis grad Neil Alexander.
Boy, he has built a monster, hasn't he? That is always a fun team to watch. I've loved watching Lincoln and Lanphier over the years, such a great rivalry and the contrasting styles. But you know, Lincoln's had some, you talk about some of these athletic programs, and they really are such a rallying point. You know, Lincoln's had a tough 20, 30 years where they've lost a lot of big employers, and, you know, that basketball team, it's more than just a place for kids, to develop character and have some great memories.
Well, and Sean,
it really, it really is meaningful when you think of some of these towns that have really taken some hits, and, you know, Neil Alexander's really brought some, you know, just an emotional break to that town over the years.
And Lincoln almost feels like nostalgia, right? Like it could be still 50 years ago with the community type of pride. And that's just the way Lincoln is rolling right now under Neil Alexander. Congratulations to him on 900 career victories. And joining us on the phone right now, we're happy to have Paul Nonneman with us. He was an assistant on that 1972 team. And Paul, first of all, good morning, sir. Can you imagine having 900 wins to your credit?
Oh, no, not quite. I didn't come anywhere near that, I guarantee you, after I became head coach. Yeah, that's fantastic. Of course, he had the system in place for so long, the ball press and all that, that he's certainly deserving of all that.
Paul, we were talking about, obviously, the 1972 team that finished third at state. Denny Held said it feels every bit like it was 50 years ago. How about you?
Well, yes and no. I think years go by pretty quickly, but have so many good memories. You know, like they were saying, it's never going to completely go from, you know, your memory and stuff. But it was just fantastic, and I certainly to this day thank those kids and the school district for giving a young coach like me the opportunity that we had. And, of course, going to the two-class system, as was mentioned, made a big difference, too. But it's an experience that I'll treasure forever. I guarantee you, certainly one of the highlights, at least of my professional life and totally in my life. It was just an experience beyond belief, and I hope a lot of other people get to experience it, too, in the future.
I mean, it did feel like a sudden shift in mindset, because before that, you're when you think about postseason aspirations, you're kind of coaching kids to be Cinderella, to be giant killers. And all of a sudden, you've got a level playing field. I mean, did it feel immediate, or did it just kind of, the mindset of the new reality of two classes just kind of fade in during the season?
That's a good question. I can remember Larry Edwards and I talked about it many times, you know, that we really want to go to two classes. We'd grown up, you know, with the one class system where it meant everything. But and then, of course, after it happened, I was one of the most thankful people on earth that they ever did it. The mindset, I suppose, had to change, yes. It was all new, you know, to everyone, and certainly to us, and it was great to be in, you know, the very first part of it. I can remember, you know, I think we won the regional, I believe, by 2 points over Rochester at Rochester. I think it was a 2-point game. And, you know, from there, it just kind of started building on itself. And, you know, I remember talking a lot of times. We kept saying, well, if we can win one more game, you know, we'll be in the sectional final. If we can win that game, then we'll be in the state term, you know, super sectional being part of the state term. And, of course, once we got to super sectional, it was, boy, if we win this one, we're playing in Champaign, you know. And I think maybe guys, the whole reality maybe set in for me when we won the game against Gibson City. And we realized at that time we were going to win the state tournament trophy.
Yeah.
I think that was the big thing for me, it seems like, as I recall. And we still had a chance to win the state championship, of course, but knowing, you know, that we'd accomplished what we had to that point, we were going to win a trophy. I think that's where it finally settled in.
Well, that was always a big deal, the two-class system, was you didn't want to go up there and lose in that quarterfinal and go home with nothing. And, Paul, talk to me about Larry Edwards and kind of what he was doing as the head coach of that squad.
Well, Larry, you know, Larry, as those guys mentioned a while ago, was, you know, he was a some degree of disciplinarian, certainly without not being overboard or anything, you know. And he worked, you know, with the kids we had, and he developed them into the teams that, you know, he kind of wanted and the style that he wanted to play. And I think it all mixed together. And I think another thing, you know, people ask me sometimes, or they used to, you know, why was Lincoln was so good for so long there back then? And I think one of the things was, you know, there were three feeder schools in the Lincoln Woods. You know, the Raymond Junior High in Farmersville and then St. Isidore. So, you know, Lincolnwood had 15 kids coming in there who had started in eighth grade. You know, so many smaller schools just have, you know, the one junior high. Mm-hmm. And I guess Larry, you know, they just put things together and, you know, they listened to him and he was a good coach and it just all worked out, you know. And I think another thing that helped that state tournament team was, and Larry, of course, developed this also. In schools, you know, the size of Lincolnwood at that time and still now, you know, when you get classes that kind of fit together, you know what I mean? You know, it was a three senior, junior, sophomore starters. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those where three classes came together, too. And he put that together as well, you know, and I think that was really important, too.
Well, that's how you have long-term success, isn't it? Stacking the classes at a small school.
Sure. Yeah, you know, you have sophomores that are going to help you. You know, that's just whether they're coming off the bench or starting. And we had both, and you know, senior leadership, and of course with Hobson and you know, Mike Bowler was a junior, the center and stuff. And it just, I guess it was, as they say, the perfect storm. You know, just all fit together and going to two classes. And I've told many people over the years. And as you guys mentioned a while ago, Lincolnwood would have been a powerhouse. Oh, my. You know, and I wasn't there in 65, but I guess a lot of people still consider that the best team ever.
Yeah.
You know, when we go talent and stuff, I don't know exactly. But, you know, in the time I was there 6 years. And, wow, I think we'd had, you know, three or four teams that would have made maybe the super sectional, you know.
Well, that's one heck of a battle when you take on Lawrenceville. And I certainly remember the early 80s when they had Marty Simmons suiting up and a great tradition. But that must have been something. I mean, a storied program and watching Hobson taking on Rick Lady, who was their stud at the time. That must have been a clash of the Titans.
Yes, it was. And, it came down, I think, to a couple things. We had them down. You know, I remember so much about this, but specific plays and scores kind of difficult, you know. I think we had them down 10 or 12 early in the third quarter, and they came back on us and beat us. And it was almost a situation, I think, where they were not going to let Hobson score. They were going to put him at the line, which didn't make sense either because he made every free throw. But what did he score? I was reading that article. I think he scored 29 points and only had like five baskets. You know, and they just continued following him. And I don't recall that that made a big difference in the game because I think he made like almost all of them. So, you know, and I don't exactly remember why they came back on us, but they certainly did. Of course, they had a great team, too. You know, and, you know, I was going to mention, too, the Gibson City game, talking about melding classes together. So the Gibson City game, we talked to several coaches around here in various places that, you know, we'd ask them how we're going to stack up against Gibson City. And they said, well, you know, they have Dennis Graff and you have Hobson. And they said, your other four players are really good players and so are theirs. And they said, we're going to give you guys a little bit of, you know, your four are just a little bit better than their other four. And they said, whatever Graff does, Hobson has to do. If he scores 50, Hobson has to score 50. Mm-hmm. And it turned out, I think Hobson had 38, Graff 33, and we won by two. So, you know, that's how good the whole team was. You know, Hobson was certainly a fantastic high school basketball player, just incredible player. But those other kids were really good players, too. Well, Paul, you know, and that made a big, big difference.
Paul, let's talk about those other kids because everybody knows Dave Hobson, but talk to me about the other kids on the floor because you don't do what they did as a one-man show.
No. That's, you know, again, it was Hobson was a senior. Paul and Aaron was a senior, and he was, you know, the point guard and stuff. And he scored some, but he was just, you know, a real steadying influence and a very, you know, kind of calm kind of player, which maybe you need with certain kids on the floor. And he was a leader, too, in a lot of ways. And then Mike Bowler was a junior, a 6'5 kid, and he was the rebounding guy. I can remember over the years, I've looked back at a few IHSA, you know, season records and stuff, and I think Mike Bowler still, he's moving down the list now, of course, but I think he's still on some of those lists of save reboundings and stuff. And he could score too. He was a really, really nice player. And then Dan Fuchs was a sophomore who started. I guess I'm saying the same thing over. He was a really good player too. And they just all fit together. And then we had the other kid, Rick Sarver. And he was a senior. And I can tell you, we didn't too often play juniors on the JV team, you know, when they were juniors. And Rick played JV the year before as a junior, and, man, did he come a long way his senior year. And he had the game of his life, of course, in the third-place game. He scored over 20 points. Maybe the only time he was over 20 or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, they were just all great kids, you know, and dedicated to what they were doing and to the school. And, I hate to say it was a perfect storm because, you know, Larry Edwards led them and, you know, and the kids were dedicated to it and stuff, but boy, it just all came together. And you know, I think back too, I think you have to credit the kids that came before them at Lincolnwood, you know, that, these things don't just happen. You know, it becomes, the idea that we can be as good as they were and so on. And maybe that's what this team did. I keep hearing this word rebuilding. I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't know if I was any. I've never been good at building anything, so I don't know if it was rebuilt. I think it was just a great group of kids that, you know, followed other great players and stuff, and there it was, you know. And, of course, going to the two classes certainly made a difference. We can't discount that, but it was just, you know, great. The whole thing was just fantastic.
Well, Paul Nonnemann, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here this morning reminiscing tonight. You're going to be in town tonight?
Yes, I'm going to be in town, yeah. I need to correct one thing. Denny Held said I had the boxing glove.
Yes.
And I did. I admit it. But what I did was they'd shoot layups, and I'd smack them with the glove as they were shooting the layup, maybe on the arm, maybe in the stomach, like they were getting fouled.
Play through contact, baby.
I didn't hit them after they missed it. I'd go to jail. You know, so that wasn't quite accurate.
I can't believe Denny embellished. What?
And I see, of all of them, I probably see Denny the most with the refereeing. I do see Dave Hobson, and Rodney Johnson was on the team, too. I see them at golf courses, but I just don't see the other kids, and it's kind of a bad thing, so it's really great when we can get together like this. So.
It will be a fun night at Lincoln Wood this evening. Paul Nonneman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and enjoy this evening.
I certainly appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right. Sean, that was just wonderful, wonderful stuff going down memory lane 50 years since that 1972 team. And I like how Paul says, I don't know about this rebuilding term. I mean, they did get third in state.
Oh, I'm telling you, that's an amazing story. It really, and you have to think, so close to that hard, getting the ultimate hardware. I mean, that's the way those games went, you know. They were tooth and nail, and man, you'd love to go back to those times. But it's great that you have that gym, because you can just close your eyes for a minute and just picture that floor without the 3-point line, and
classic.
Picture those guys up there at the woodshed.
Classic stuff. So the JV game tips at 5 tonight, Staunton Lincolnwood, as they will honor the 1972 Lincolnwood Lancers. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon from Northwestern. That'll get underway 2:30 with the pregame on 105.3 The Ox. Thank you so much to Vern Pinkston, Denny Held, Matt Milberg, and Paul Nonneman for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Belint, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.